between the, this can't go on forever. The polarization of the coasts versus Middle America. We're evolving, like, let's say in the 70s, we might have been different. Yeah, California. Remember Johnny Carson goofing about whatever.
Yep.
But now it's so polar, it doesn't even resemble America.
No, the coasts have no connection to Middle America anymore. Maybe they want to secede and create their own country.
Don't laugh. It might happen. I think that's the next step. I think Donald Trump...
Personally, I'd love to see California secede because they'd fail so quickly, you know.
I think they would, but it's just really sad when you look at, like, what happened. California, that is a microcosm of liberalism.
Oh, absolutely.
And you took a state with every natural resource, every advantage... Everything going on in the 60s is not that long ago in the big history, and now it's a number one poverty hellhole.
Yeah. They don't seem to realize that, you know, the voters need certain things done, and their policies have failed the voters over and over again. And you saw Middle America basically going, look, he's saying he's going to give us jobs.
But the Democrats want more replacements a la illegal aliens.
Oh, of course.
And that's their end game. We do have a caller. Caller, are you there?
You know, your show should be syndicated. It's such a common sense show. And you touch on...
You know something? I think we're so underutilized. You know something? I'm a real realist in my old age, okay? And I'm sorry. We nail it. We just do.
You're really in the ballpark with a lot of things that the people in the mainstream media don't even want to have discussed.
No, even conservative, so-called conservative radio and media does not touch on what we really touch on.
Now, just let me say this. Now, what you're saying about secession and all these things, you know, and this is just my opinion. I don't think we're close to a civil war, but you're seeing the beginnings of a real separation coming in this country now, like it did, you know, in the 1850s, say. Now, I'm just going to say this, with this immigration thing, now, I don't care where you come from or what language you speak. That's my personal opinion. But this is what you have now in California. You have the state passing laws that circumvent and defy the federal government. And this is what happened in the 1850s.
Caller, I really think, you know, you say, oh, now... I'm not so sure we're not headed. I'm not saying it might not be an armed conflict. I think it would be more in the courts. I think it's oil and water on the coasts versus Middle America. I think secession is not out of the realm of possibility. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. That's my honest viewpoint.
Listen, but I'm going to tell you this. You know, there are sections of this country that don't resemble the other sections. There's sections of this country I wouldn't live in. And there's sections of this country, no matter what side you're on, where you have the bulk of people thinking one way and you have people thinking the other way. And it just can't keep going. The country's too big to stay together. It's too big and it's too confused. And people think that the Soviet Union was never going to collapse. Well, look what happened. And they
you
think
know,
that,
caller, that's I am so on board. Because I am so sick of people, they read their fifth grade history books and blah, 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 everything's, you know, kumbaya. You don't know how, you know, they probably said that in 1850, right?
They absolutely did.
Yeah, of course they did. I'm not so sure. I don't know if it's going to be an armed conflict. That's not really what I'm getting at, but it'll be some type of legislative, I think its first phase is legislative initiatives to try to at least not technically secede, but have separate laws for the coast, that is California. Even Oregon, they're just not, I don't know. And by the way, how did this happen, caller? I don't know how old you are. It's none of my business. But I remember Johnny Carson in the 80s and even when he, before he, in the 90s, was goofing around. He would be thrown out on his ears on the West Coast.
I'm gonna say these two words to you because they're known worldwide. Autonomous regions. That's what you could wind up with.
I think you're right. Caller, thank you very much.
All right.
I think, Dr. Lopkin, this caller is correct. How does that sound?
He is.
I think we're talking about autonomous regions.
I don't know that it's going to go that way because I think the war has already started and most people haven't realized it yet.
Say, what do you mean?
It's in the courts right now.
That's what I'm saying.
There are two specific cases in the courts right now that I think are going to be the tipping point.
And what are they?
One is the federal government is going after California for violating the INS, going after the illegal aliens. The mayor of Oakland warned people ahead of time. That's going in the courts. The other thing that's working their way through courts, you may or may not have heard this week the EPA wants to drop back emissions.
Mm-hmm. And California's suing.
California is suing. The federal government is countersuing. Basically, what they're trying to do in the courts, and the fact of the matter is, given the makeup of the Supreme Court, the federal government will win this case.
Okay, but here's the end game, though.
What it is that it is going to prohibit states from making any law that it's going to affect other states.
Okay, but let me ask you what could happen, at least in my mind's eye. Court schmortz, liberalism on steroids, hyper-liberalism, which is California and the East Coast, New York. Yep. But California in particular.
Well, the Northeast.
Well,
it's not so much in the Southeast.
Okay.
You
no,
know.
No, no, I'm talking about, okay. But I'm talking about California.
Yep.
Don't say the heck with your laws. We'll have big protests. We'll have government resist marches.
They'll have all the marches they want. But I guarantee you what will happen is that the federal government will go, oh, you're not going to follow the law? Guess what? You're no longer eligible for federal money. And the state of California, like the state of Connecticut right now, cannot survive without federal money.
But survival might be second, because when you have an ideology as strong as uber-liberalism, they might take the bullet.
Let them take the bullet. When they can't feed their people, they're not going to keep getting votes.
Well, we'll see how that works out. We do have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Hi.
Hello.
I have just a comment about the emissions. My girlfriend's son, her car is registered here in the state of Connecticut, but he's had his car out in Arizona for 3 years. And she's getting threatening letters from the state of Connecticut saying that she needs to bring the car here to get it tested for emissions. Well, her son said that he took it to Arizona, and Arizona, the mechanics there, said this car doesn't need to be emissioned. It's only 3 years old.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, so they're threatening her, if you don't have this car here by a certain amount of time, you're going to pay like this exorbitant fee.
Can I ask you a question about that? Do you find it odd that Connecticut, a state that's losing more business than you could ever imagine, 50 people a day leave this state, don't you find it that maybe they have their priorities a little bit distorted when they're worried about your friend with emissions? Shouldn't they be more, worried about maybe, instead of losing five businesses a day, maybe attracting one real business? Wouldn't that be really monumental?
Right, and her son says he's never moving back here. So, you know, she's like, I'm going to spend $1,000 to put a car in a transit to do a $30 emission test here.
Yeah, no, it's totally backwards.
Why is the car not re-registered in Arizona?
Well, because it's a lease, and so it's technically here, but her son has it there. I mean, he's trying to pay it off as fast as he can so he can buy a car over there and not have to deal with Connecticut. Also, my son got one of those Newegg state of Connecticut tax bills. I don't know if you heard about that.
No, what's the Newegg?
So Newegg is a company where you can buy IT equipment, and they were one of the companies that didn't charge Connecticut taxpayers sales tax. So the state of Connecticut went to them and said, turn over all your records. And so they did. And now state of Connecticut residents who used Newegg from 2014 to 2017 just received sales tax bills.
Beautiful. So they'll leave and you some too. Good.
But they're saying that if you didn't receive it by March 19th, which, of course, my son received his earlier than that, that, you know, they're working it out with the state and you don't have to pay. But to all of those, Kevin Sullivan said in the Hartford Courant, all of those that got their letters, you have a responsibility to pay that sales tax.
Even though it wasn't your fault.
Right.
Well, you know, it's really amazing to me that I think, you know, the state of Connecticut really penalizes people that are trying to just do good, Dr. Locke.
Oh, absolutely.
They'll let, you know, if you're like a down and outer, you got a free pass in Connecticut. In fact, if you're you're down and outer, and if you're on assistance, I think total assistance in Connecticut, believe it or not, is equal to like $45,000 a year. But if you're down and outer, you're good. If you're a hardworking person, beware, because they'll try to go after, oh, you missed a Newegg payment. You did. Oh, your emissions aren't in line. You know, let's worry about, instead of, you know, worried about harassing people, how about trying to make this state better? What do you think, Carla?
Right. I think it's very telling that the new Roseanne show, which I haven't seen yet, but last week it got 29 million viewers. That's middle America watching that show because it's representing middle America.
Okay, but don't you think it's interesting, though, that you look at CNN's ratings juxtaposed to Roseanne's. Roseanne's is going through the roof. CNN's in the tank. Don't you think it's kind of a mutual admiration? They think America's like them, but it's really not. And maybe the chickens are coming home to roost?
Yes, and I heard an interesting interview on Howard Stern. Kathy Griffith was on, Griffin. And she talked all about that incident with the mask, the bloody mask she was holding, and how she was such good friends with Anderson Cooper that they had traveled together, spent time together at each other's homes, and all these liberal artists. And she thought that, she mistakenly thought, she said, that she would be at least, you know, brought in during this crushing time by her liberal friends. And she said not one person outside of Bette Midler even called her.
No, do you know why? Because I believe that liberalism is a wolf in sheep's clothing, because they only care about their useful idiots. If you're not
That's
useful
right.
to them, let the door hit you on the ass. That's just
and
how
it
is.
She said it was a huge wake-up call to her.
Well, it should be, because I really truly believe that's true. Dr. Lockman, you have a final thought for the caller?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the Roseanne show, and yeah, they've aired three episodes of that so far. Broken record, ratings records.
Right.
And now Hollywood is scrambling, going, oh, but it has nothing to do with Trump. It's a whole different thing. And they're sticking their heads
Call
in
denial.
The sand.
Call denial.
No, but they're right. It has nothing to do with Trump. It's about middle America. Show me one show that now shows middle America, a real home, real people with real jobs.
I think that's a great
point.
None of them.
No, none of them. It's all no. Yeah, exactly. In fact, the only one that did was, I never saw the Last Man Standing. They got rid of that.
And they're talking about bringing that back now based on the success of Roseanne.
Well, caller, before I let you go, isn't it really indicative, because you listen to all these intelligentsia from Hollywood, it's an echo chamber. But they when they go to the parties, I bet even you, if you went to 5 years of this echo chamber parties, you might think America's pretty much like San Francisco in the end, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Amazing.
We're drinking the Kool-Aid. They're force-feeding us the Kool-Aid. And so many people think that the East and West Coast represents America. It does not.
But do you think, like our last caller before you, I really believe, and I won't use this term lightly, we're in a quasi-revolution in this, or civil war in this country. I think it's growing. One path is going one way, the other's going the other, in terms of the left coast and America. The two coasts in America, they almost have nothing in common anymore, which is not like it was 20, 30 years ago.
No, but we're being lulled to sleep. That's why there's not an uprising. I don't think there's going to be an uprising. I mean, if you were in a different country and, you know, the taxes and all this stuff that was going on, people go to the streets and protest. There's strikes. And in America, it's just the way it is, I guess.
I think it's amazing, Calder, that you say that, because you look at, like, even in the 60s, you know, with the Vietnam protests, you know, whatever side of the fence you're on, that's even another issue. But people got up and they protested. America, not even a whimper. You can screw them with taxes. You can screw them out of this. Do this. And as long as they got their internet and stupid, you know, some stupid sitcoms, they're fat, dumb, and isn't that, like, outrageous, really?
Yeah, that's the way it is, though. This is America now. You know, as long as you have your social media and access to a smartphone, they really don't care what's going on in the world or in America.
Fantastic.
Really
Thank you so much for the call. Have a great
Thank
weekend.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
I think that was a great call, Lopkin.
Yes,
I think
she
is right. What do you think about, we're so 860-685-7700, 685-7700, 685-7700. Are we so divided in America that some type of civil war is not inevitable? I think it actually is, Dr. Lopkin. You don't think so, but that's why we're on the show. I think that either through the courts, I'm not saying a violent, but through the courts, through civil unrest, I think it's oil and water at this point in America.
It is oil and water, unfortunately. But I think that the coasts are ultimately going to realize when they have no other choice that, oh, wait a minute. This is not what we thought it was. Because let's face it. What are the folks on the coasts producing? They're producing entertainment. You've got Silicon Valley. There yeah. they've got actual products coming out. New York is primarily finance.
Financial.
Up here, it's insurance. It's like, but they don't make anything. They don't build anything. They don't mine for resources. And these are the folks that are getting taken advantage of over and over again. And as these people realize, wait a minute, you know, we cannot let this happen. The folks on the coasts are eventually going to go, oh, wait a minute, we can't get the things we need anymore.
But if they're so immersed in the ideology, which I think they're getting, it's at that point that I think that's almost secondary. It's crazy as it seems. It's almost ideology
interest. I think it is. But the fact of the matter is they can't eat ideology. So at some point, they're going to back it to death. But at some point, they're going to have to go, oh, okay, we can't keep this up anymore.
Good point. Let's see what our caller has. Caller, is it oil and water? Are we headed for some type of a civil war, either through the courts or whatever?
Well, I want to use the term civil war. I think we're coming to a realization.
A breaking point is better.
That these elitists do not reflect the attitudes of most Americans. Take, for example, San Francisco and San Diego. The mayor of San Diego is telling the people up in Sacramento that if you don't obey federal laws, why should I obey state laws? That is a conflict that people are tired of. San Francisco is like Connecticut, where they spend money, they do stuff, and they never accomplish anything except driving the state into bankruptcy.
Yeah, but Cole, yep. I have to interject. This is amazing to me because I don't know how old you are. It's none of my business, but I'm in my 50s. And what's that?
I'm in my mid-60s.
Okay. I remember, I don't know why, it's a weird thing with me. I love history. I love media history. So you look at old sitcoms from the 60s, maybe into the 50s, and it's like California was the oasis. It was an amazing period of time. You go there, unless you're a total screw-up, you're going to do well. Because of 40 years of liberalism, that's no longer the case, is it? San Francisco is a hellhole. In fact, they had a convention in San Francisco. I forgot what it was. They thought it was going to be the Golden Gate Bridge, trolley cars. They were aghast. The homelessness and the poverty and the crime. Is that what liberalism gives us, caller?
Well, what they left out was one thing. You have to understand that they elected a governor called Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, but that was 50 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 50 years ago, they elected somebody named Ronald Reagan. And if you think 50, 60 years ago, the worst thing that ever happened to most of the society was the Great Society by Lyndon.
Oh, my God. It was the worst thing ever.
It literally destroyed.
Destroyed, especially minority groups forever, right. Forever.
And it was intentional because it made minority groups dependent on the government. I was listening to something recently where Michelle Obama was speaking. She said her husband was a good father to this country.
Oh, God.
And Donald Trump was a bad father. And by implication, that's arrogance because we are not your children. You serve us. We don't serve you. That's the
arrogance.
Yeah,
but liberalism doesn't see it that way. We're to serve them.
No, liberals don't believe that we're intelligent enough to govern ourselves,
right.
So they have to do it for us.
Good point, yes.
Right, that's exactly the point that she was making, that if you, in this country, you cannot make your decision on your own. They must make decisions. That's why you see the problem with the borders.
Well, let me interject one thing, caller, because one thing you said that was so brilliant was about how the Great Society destroyed, in particular, minority groups.
Oh,
and here, just hear me out. I believe, and I told this to Dr. Lopkin before you called in a while ago, that I think liberalism doesn't really care about people. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. They project, and they're great marketers. They say they don't love business. They're the best at marketing. I want to help you. I'm here to assist. You're so downtrodden. Oh, those mean conservatives don't like you. They want you to get a job. I'm going to help you. They don't care about those people.
No, no,
they care about enslaving them and having them as a voting block so they can empower themselves for the millennial.
And to make you dependent on them. And worst of all, what they've done to 50% of black families are single parents. That never existed before the Great Society.
You know, let me interject about this. I found it fascinating. If you look at the statistics on black America in the 60s and before, when they faced amazing amount of prejudice and things, unfairness that you could ever, you know, I could never even imagine, they had a higher, believe this or not, Dr. Lopkin, a higher degree of intact marriages,
yes.
Church, all the things that make a society stable, even though they were impoverished, no fault of their own, they had higher levels of the things that make a society great. 50 years later, that is not the case, is it, caller?
Absolutely not. And one thing that you never hear, that the Democratic Party and the liberals embrace Margaret Sanger and her principle of eugenics, you never, ever will hear about the demographics of who's getting abortion. Black people, black American population have remained flat for almost 40 years. And you ask yourself why? While the Hispanic, Latino, the white American population are growing, black population have remained. That's promoting the eugenics philosophy of Margaret Sanger, who's the founder of Parent Planhood. It's absolutely amazing that black folks vote for these folks 90, 80, 70% of the time. And I'm just amazed at the ignorance of what will make you vote for these folks.
Well, then why you? I need to ask the question. Why does that happen?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand it really, because it's like me being your best friend where you're giving me drinks and things that are going to hurt me. And I'm like your best buddy. I don't get it. Eventually, you need to say, wait a second, you're really not a good influence on me. I need to walk away. But it hasn't happened. I think Trump actually made a little inroads, not much.
No, because they'll promise you free stuff. They'll promise you that we are taking care of you. It's like a slave plantation mentality. I'll take care of you and I'll treat you right, but you're still my slave.
Yeah, but I think it's also bigger than that, is because about 10 years ago, I was unemployed only for like 3 months. Even that period, I'll never forget, when governments in your life, you cease to be a person. I was only on it for 3 months, and it was like dial 9 if you're looking, dial 1 if you're not.
Yep.
And after 3 months, I almost was going to lose my mind.
Hey, but you know something, though? Everybody would agree that government should serve the purpose to help people when they fall on hard times. Nobody going to
No doubt.
But it's not meant to be generational. And what they have done in black communities made it generational, where they have told people, we will support you and you don't have to look for a job. Get your ass up, get your butt off the sofa, look for a job. I mean, there's so much opportunity for free education out here, you won't believe it. But if I'm dependent on you, then I got to dance to your tune. And I mean, these people vote, black people vote for Democrats 70-89% of the time and never do anything for them. Never. It's almost like I'm taking you for granted. It's insane.
It really is. I mean, the government programs that are supposed to help people are constructed in such a way that they're spider webs. Once you're in them, it is so difficult to get out of them that so many people don't. We have somebody that calls in here.
It's even planned. I'm sorry to interrupt. I really am. I saw this documentary, and it was an amazing black woman, single mother, two kids, and she was on welfare. Then I couldn't believe she got through her associates because, you know, she don't do it. And guess what? They screwed. Instead of saying, oh, okay, great,
yep,
continue your benefits, and God, we can get you off welfare.
Nope.
No, they punished her.
Yes, they did.
They punished her. She had to quit her job.
But if you go back to the 60s and 70s, those welfare benefits, those public assistance benefits were never meant to be permanent. They were meant to be temporary, and the liberal Democrats have turned into a permanent situation to keep people under their thumbs to vote for.
Yes.
And to make them feel victimized. I mean, those people, black African-Americans are not victims. Yeah, it's slavery. You endure slavery. But that does not make you a victim. An abused wife don't need to be continuing a victim for the rest of her life.
No, the only way you are a victim is if you fail to take any action to get yourself out of a situation.
Yeah, but after generations, Eric, I think you lose your mojo.
That's part of what's going on. Yes.
No, you don't. No, I can give you a classic example. Look at Oprah Winfrey. She's successful. She's a billionaire. Look at Jay-Z. He's a successful.
Yep.
He's a billionaire. And you can't tell me that these people turn, the same people turn around and say, they always come on TV talking about white privilege. That's bull. Those two people worth over billions of dollars, and you're going to tell me white privilege held you back from making billions of dollars? It's insanity.
Well, you know something, though. Here's what I say as a pushback. Is I really believe that it's very rare that the apple falls that far from the tree. In other words, if you're born rich, unless you really screw up, you're going to, if you do the investigation, if you're middle class, white or black, you probably end up middle class. My point is, if you have generations and it's your reference group, it takes an extremely strong will get out of that.
No, I don't agree with that philosophy. It takes somebody with fixity of purpose and a desire to move beyond where they are.
Yeah, but how do you do that when everyone around you is not doing it? It's almost impossible.
No, it's not impossible. I got to disagree with you, Jeff. Our caller's right. People can do this. All they have to do is say, okay, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being poor. I'm sick and tired of being middle class, whatever. I want to do better and take actions.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. You don't have to. You can be born into a terrible situation. You can be born an abused child or an abused woman. It doesn't mean you got to live in that abuse.
Right.
No, I agree with both of you. It doesn't mean that you're predestined. I'm actually giving Oprah and Jay-Z an amazing kudos because I don't think I would have the strength.
I don't give either one kudos.
I do it because I don't think I'd have the strength if I was surrounded by
and egotistical in their position. They condemn and they are in a position where they could help. But instead of helping, what they do, they condemn people like Trump, and they convince people that Trump is racist and he's holding them back. It's absurd.
That part I find bizarre because I agree with you. I don't understand why people like Oprah.
About something called white privilege. These are billionaires.
I know, but why don't these billionaires... But wait a second, hold on. Why don't these billionaires... they know the secret. The secret is self-actualization, it's effort. But why do they, after they made their billions, still preach the crap that's enslaved a whole group of people? To me, they should be the beacons of light that say, don't listen to this crap. I did it. It's very hard, but you can do it. Why do they fall back on the nonsense?
Well, that's a simple question. You can go back about a generation and a half, and you had house servants and you had field servants. The house servants took on the image of the master. The field servant, they convinced the field servant that you always need to be in the field. That's what these people are. And if you don't see them for what they really are, they have made that millions. And then they criticize the behavior of some young black men and women, and they made their fortunes like Jay-Z off of using words like the B word, the
I gotcha.
Word yep. and the N word, and they made their billions off of rap music doing that stuff.
I think it's very unfortunate that the leadership like Jesse Jackson is the antithesis of what you need. I think you need a strong leaders that have the way out, because there is a way out.
Trust me, you don't need a Jesse Jackson. You don't need what happened in Oakland. You don't need what happened in California recently. A black young man is shot dead. And where did they go to protest? L.A. Kings.
Yeah.
Facility. They had nothing to do with the shooting. That's They did that for one specific purpose, to get the L.A. King, to blackmail the L.A. Kings, to get the L.A. King to come out and say something, and they had nothing to do with it. That's exploitation of that organization,
and that's wrong. Can I ask you one question before, like a great caller, amazing caller? Dr. Lopkin and I were talking about this before the show, and we'd like your input because you got some good insights, that Trump's approval rating is now over 51%, and I'd said to Dr. Lopkin that I think there's many, I think it's higher than that. I think there's a whole group of closet people that they're scared to come out, because when you meet someone socially, the first thing they say, oh, I hate Trump, he's awful. And then you get to know him, you know, he's really not that bad. I think it's a lot higher. What do you think?
I think it's a lot higher. I think what you're missing is something that occurred years ago, back in the 70s, back in the late 60s, early 70s, where a guy named Richard Nixon said there's a silent majority out there. That silent majority was afraid to express their opinion because of condemnation. Today, it's because of political correctness. There are plenty of people out here, black, white, Hispanic, Latinos, everybody, who agree with Trump. They were tired of the weak leadership in this country, and they couldn't speak out, because if they spoke out, they would be accused of being racist, being this or being that. And they simply are a silent majority. We just saw it in the last election.
Fantastic. Caller, thank you so much. You have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you. That's, you know, I'm sorry, Dr. Lopkin, I think that's a very insightful, and I think there might have been confusion. To me, I admire someone that comes out of poverty, because I think it's difficult. If you don't have people, you don't have a reference group, you don't have people that are encouraging, going on your own is tough.
It is tough. I'm not going to pretend it isn't, but anybody can do it. I hear over and over again, oh, well, you know, I don't have the money to do it, I can't do it. And I point people to dozens of free resources that they can use to educate themselves, to find better opportunities. You have to have the drive to do it. And you know, our caller hit it right on the nail with the silent majority. Years ago, I met somebody who worked circulation at the New York Post. And the New York Post, if you asked anybody in New York, nobody read the New York Post. But they had these circulation numbers doing better than the Times in the city, better than the news. But nobody ever read it, because everybody would pick it up on a newsstand or get, you know, but nobody wanted to be seen reading it. Nobody, because you get ostracized. And that's exactly what the liberals want to happen. They want people to feel bad about disagreeing with them. They don't want active debate. They don't want them anything that might prove them wrong. They want you to follow blindly. Because they're over and over again, they have proven that their methods do not work for people.
Let's see what our caller has to say. We'll have to see this one, Eric. Caller, are you there?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
You know, I was driving home from work, and I was listening to your program first time. And I have to say, I'd never heard so much bull in my life.
Okay.
Okay. What in particular?
The whole concept was ridiculous. Because you take, first talking about the black community, you take one factor and then try to say that's the problem in the black community. That's not the problem. It's part of the symptom, but it's not the problem.
It's a problem, not the whole.
But see, my problem is, that's all you dealt with. Every time I turn on the radio or I turn on conservative radio, that's all I hear. That's all you deal with. Is that issue of welfare, it messed up the black family? No.
Well, what should we be dealing with? Tell us.
You should deal with the criminal justice system. You should deal with education.
I agree with all that. Absolutely. No question about
it. There's a whole bunch of problems that contribute to the black
community. No doubt about it. And I agree with you 100,000%. I was kind of responding to our previous caller. Criminal justice system, no question about it. Education system, no, the cards are stacked against African Americans. There's no doubt in my mind. No doubt.
Okay,
maybe you misunderstood me. I give anyone that can rise above that type of adversity, I could not do it. when you were talking about Oprah, when the callers are open to these other people, Jay-Z, I couldn't. I don't know how you do it because it's so hard. So many things are stacked against those people. I could not do it, and I'm being honest. I could not do it.
And my other thing is, because lately all you hear is liberal this, conservative this. To me, I believe that the problem is liberals and conservatives. I feel that each is playing us against each other.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Hang on.
I just want to. Did you say this was the first time you've listened to us?
Yes.
Okay. Because we have talked about that over and over again. You're absolutely right. So hopefully you'll listen to us more often and you'll hear us dealing with exactly what you're talking about.
All right. Because, I mean, like I tell my friends, most of my friends are conservatives. And I tell them that there's no difference between the Democrats and Republicans.
Well, he said so that. We say that all the time, sir. Absolutely. They're both playing one against the other. They're both feeding from the same trough. It's a bunch of BS. There's no doubt.
Now, maybe I'd love to hear your opinion on this. We're talking earlier about the number of unaffiliated voters. Now, Connecticut actually has more voters who are not affiliated with either the Democratic or the Republican Party. Why are these unaffiliated voters not coming out in anger? Why do they keep falling into the same trap of vote? Let's face it, we do not have geniuses representing us in office.
True, but you know what? I hate using this term because I can't stand it, the fake news. But see, most people watch TV and the first thing they're told, they believe. So no matter what channel you're watching, whatever makes you feel good is what you watch.
Whoa, wait, I cannot take credit for this caller. Dr. Lopkin, Studio B, said it 10 years ago. It's a dangerous concept. I'm dating myself, but too bad. Like a long time ago, 40 years ago, you'd have three networks, and they were pretty even keeled. Now, if you're liberal, you'll go to one station, like MSNBC, CNN. If you're conservative, you're going to go to Fox. So you never hear another viewpoint. You just get fed this echo chamber that builds your own views. You never get a contrarian view. It's actually dangerous.
It is real dangerous. Now, when Trump was running, I supported him. I don't support him now because the stuff that he does. He scares me, actually.
What has he done that scares you?
What has he done that scares me?
I'm sure there's loads of things. Okay, I'm just trying to get what your interests are.
Okay, what scares me the most? One, I'm the first person to say that when it comes to immigration, if you're here illegally, you got to go. I don't care. There's nothing to talk about. You got to go. You're here illegally. Pack your stuff and go. But when you play it up to a small portion of conservatives that are white supremacists and the rest and just keep talking about Mexicans and calling them rapists, I don't like that.
No, you're right. I completely agree. Even Trump, yeah, absolutely. Like, he's picking on the caravan that, you know, going from Central. It's way out of control. There's the highest degree of rapes. How does he know that?
He was actually quoting a news report.
Well, he shouldn't do it as President of the United States.
He doesn't communicate well at all, and he should stop.
Yeah, he needs to take a chill pill.
Yeah.
Caller, I want you to tune in again. Call in again. We actually only have like a minute left. Hopefully, you'll come back again.
All right, y'all have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Well, Dr. Lopkin, we're up against it again. I thought that was another fine show.
Great
An
callers.
Amazing callers.
Our callers are fantastic.
They're the best. It's the best. And, you know, we got a new, you know, our last caller, a new caller. It was great. And I think hopefully
he'll call in again because he had great points.
Great points. And I think that there was a thing that he thought we were a certain way when, in fact, I think after the discussion,
That's a common problem because we've gotten so used to the soundbite.
Yes.
And you're not looking past the soundbite. You know, again, this was the first time he'd heard us. But if you go back over years, yeah, we agree with a lot of what he said.
Dr. Lopkin, fantastic show. We thank our callers. We thank our listeners. WESU 88.1 FM. And the views of The Buzz, soon to be Carnivore Radio, is not the views of WESU or Wesleyan. Thank all of you and have a great weekend. Take care.